All right. I'm going to read you a couple of verses of Scripture and preach a real simple message tonight. And I just kind of throw this together. It's been on my heart all day today. And I just want to be led of the Lord. I don't have a real structured outline. I didn't this morning either. Sometimes you don't need that. Sometimes you don't have to have a alliterated outline and all the points rhyme or start with the same letter. That's nice sometimes if you can do that. But I just felt like giving you something from my heart tonight that I hope will be a blessing. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 16. Just read a couple of verses here. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest? Now he's speaking here of speaking in tongues. Verse number 17 said, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other's not edified. All through the Bible, it talks about giving thanks. It talks about being thankful. And I've preached a lot about it, and you've heard it preached on, and I've got messages on Thanksgiving and giving thanks and how this generation is unthankful, ungrateful. But I want to preach tonight and just preach from my heart, and hope it'll bless your heart on this subject. When is the last time that you really said thank you? When's the last time you really said thank you? And I'm speaking to myself and speaking to you as a church and as Christians and moms and dads, young people. When's the last time we really got down on our knees and just spent a little time thanking God for what he's done for us? You know, the model prayer, you know, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17, but it the Lord's Prayer there, that model that he gave us, he's thanking the Father for daily blessings and for what God's done for us. And then he asks forgiveness and all that stuff. But thanksgiving is a real important part of worship. Sometimes I don't think we realize how unthankful that we really are. But we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful for what God's done for us. You've heard me give this illustration before. Matthew Henry was a great commentator. Every preacher's got his commentary. And he was robbed one time, and they asked him about it, and he said he was thankful. And somebody said, why would you be thankful? He said, well, number one, I was never robbed before. This is my first time around. Amen. He said, secondly, that although they took my all, it wasn't a whole lot. Must have been a Baptist preacher, I guess. But number three, he said, even though they took my wallet, they did not take my life. And he said, fourthly, that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Think about it. You and I both could be out there on the street tonight, and we could be gangsters or rebels. We could be troublemakers. We could be in prison. We could be in jail. We could be laid up at the hospital. I could think of 1,000 things to say tonight. But I can't make you be thankful. Only that comes from your heart. We ought to be grateful and thank God for how good God's been to us. I'll give you a few little points tonight. The message may not last 15 minutes, but I just jotted down real quick when I got here this evening. It's been on my heart all day. Some things we should be thankful for. The number one thing I can think of, and people's already alluded to it in their testimony, is we ought to thank God that we're saved. Amen? Man, be thankful that we're saved. I know some people say, well, preacher, yeah, that's all you ever talk about. You talk about it all the time. But listen, that's the very foundation of why we worship. If it wasn't for Calvary, and if it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ being paying the atonement for our sin, there'd be nothing we can come in here and praise God for. If you're like the Roman Catholics and you're the richest entity on earth and that's all you got, all that's going to burn up someday. But we got much, much more than that. Amen. We're saved eternally and forever, going to heaven someday. You do realize that real soon we're checking out of here. You understand what Job said, that man is born of a woman, is but a few days and full of trouble. We talk about the trouble part, but sometimes we don't emphasize. He said a few days. We're just here a short time. We're going to be here and gone. It won't be long. These kids will be running this church, and they'll sit around, they'll look at pictures, and they'll say, I remember when Brother Ronnie was the pastor here. I remember them days. I remember back in the old days. That's right, kids. That's how fast it goes by. We all
ought to be thankful that we're saved. Ought to be grateful that God, listen, God could have let you die and went to hell. God could have let me go in my lost condition and just let me go. I was on a path of destruction, and you were too. And I didn't want anything to do with God or the Bible or church or anything else. But God had mercy. God showed mercy. In His great infinite mercy and His grace, He came to where I was, and He picked me up out of the mire and the sin and the dirt and the filth and the all scouring of this world. And He picked me up, pulled me out of that horrible pit, as the Bible talks about, and set my feet on a solid foundation. And I want to tell you something, brother and sister. We should never, ever get over the fact that we're saved. You know, we're free. These people get kidnapped and they get held over there in Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're in a concrete little jail somewhere, and they just keep them until they decide to cut their heads off. You think them people don't appreciate freedom? You can leave here tonight, you can walk out this door, and you can go get in your car, and you can go eat wherever you want to eat. You can go down, you can go to bed at 10 o'clock, or you can stay up all night, you can do what you want to do. You're free, but more important than that, you're free spiritually. Thank God, I'm glad for the freedom I have. Oh, I'm so glad I'm set free. I remember the night I got saved, Brother Sam. It felt like God just reached down with a big old key and just unlocked a big padlock and took the chains off, and I was set free. God, like that song. Boy, that's how I felt. I ain't kidding. And I'll tell you, all these years has come and gone. I'm like Miss Shirley said, Miss Debbie, and Brother Sam, and everybody that's testified. I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I don't have to worry. There's things I may worry and fret about, but being saved ain't one of them. Listen, it's a done deal. Amen. It's paid in full. Jesus Christ cried from the cross that it's paid for. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe, but He stepped up on my behalf and on yours and saved us from an eternal destruction in a lake of fire. Well, to thank God we're saved. You know, we spend our time, what little time we pray is we're asking for things, and that's not wrong to do. I mean, we're supposed to ask petitions and all those things, but sometimes I think we ought to just spend some time and say, Lord, I didn't come here to ask for anything. I just want to thank you, God. You've been so good to me. Oh, God, you've been so good to me. I could have died lost. Oh, so easily I could have died lost and plunged off into eternity without God, without hope. God didn't have to save me. I wasn't a prime catch. God didn't look down at me and say, boy, He's going to make a good one. God just had grace, had mercy, and He loved me. Oh, thank God. I could have been lost. I could be in hell and I'm burning and on fire and screaming for help. Oh, but thank God He was merciful. He knew the condition I was in, and He came to where I was and saved my never dying soul. Glad I'm saved tonight. The Bible said, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was the last time we just got down on our face and just prayed a while. It was, Lord, I want to thank You for saving me. Lord, I want to thank You for saving me. I want to thank You for redeeming me and paying my debt. I want to thank You, Lord, for not letting me die lost and undone. Oh, God, there's no way religion couldn't save me and good works couldn't save me. Ain't you glad tonight that the grace appeared? The Bible said the grace of God hath appeared to all men. You know tonight that by God's grace, you're saved. If it wasn't for Him, you'd be lost. And there'd be people praying for you that you'd get saved. But by His grace, you're saved tonight. We ought to thank God. Oh, listen to me, people. We ought to thank God that we have salvation, free and clear, and it's paid for. Amen. I'll tell you, number two, we ought to thank God that we're taken care of. God just didn't save you and turn you loose. The Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. He takes care of us physically and spiritually and even mentally. Well, some of us, that mentally part, He has to work overtime on. Are y'all all right tonight? Amen. Amen. I feel like preaching. Amen. Y'all feel like listening? Amen. Amen. I was in a black church one time. How did I feel like preaching? This old black lady said, we feel like listening. Amen. But I'm glad he takes care of us. I'm glad we don't serve a God somewhere that's hidden somewhere and we never hear from him and we don't know. Like Brother Sam said, he always works in our lives, and sometimes he does things that just don't, we just sit back and scratch our head and say, how'd that happen? It's the hand of God, brother. Me and Brother Jeff was talking about just the other day, and I believe the reason God lets things happen in your life is because you've committed your life to him and you love him and you go to church and you raise your kids in church and pay your tithes and you try your best to do right, and seems like right when you need something to happen, man, God just shows up and he just takes care of it. Ain't you glad we're serving a God tonight that will always take care of us? God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. I'm glad we're taken care of. Amen. Thirdly, I want to say we're secured. Thank God we're secured. Paul said, told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, so for the which cause I also suffer many things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He didn't say I know in whom I believe, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, God's going to take care of us. God's going to hold us secure. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, how's all this going to wash out? How's everything? Listen, I do know this. I know one thing. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, how are we going to get there? I don't know. I don't know, brother. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I know we're going to leave here with a shout and the trump of God, and it ain't Donald Trump either, bless God. It's the trump of Almighty God. He's going to lift us up off this ground and take us out of here. And brother, I'm glad until then he's keeping us. The Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Oh, he shall sustain thee. He'll keep us. He'll watch over us. Thank God you just cast all your burdens on him tonight. I'm thankful we're secured. I'm thankful we're secured. I don't have to worry about, if I go to sleep tonight, I don't have to worry if I die in my sleep. I don't want to die at all. I'm like everybody else. I like to hang around as long as I can. Amen? But I want to tell you something, brother and sister. I don't lay in the bed at night and worry, is this going to be the night? Is tonight going to be the night? I don't wake up in the morning. Oh, brother, we're secured. Thank God. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, no man is able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. Hey, we're secured in Christ. We are in Christ. We're not just of him. We're in him. I taught on that Wednesday night. Had 24 different points on what we have when we're in Christ. I'm glad we're secured. I'm glad when we made our deposit with him, he's not going to lose it and he's not going to misplace it. Thank God our name is written down in heaven and it's going to be there forevermore. Amen. We're secured. I'll say number four, I'm thankful for the word of God. Psalm 119:89 said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thank God that we have the word of God. You get things in a Bible-believing church you don't get nowhere else. Amen. The Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Said in another place, Paul said, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All the politicians in the world can't figure it out. They're blind as bats. They don't know what the biggest problem in America is. Not immigration or social reform or economic problems, or the biggest problem is not ISIS. The biggest problem we have in the world is sin. It's a sin problem. And I'm glad we have the truth. The greatest truths in life will never be found in great literature, but in the Bible. The greatest truth you'll ever find is in the Word of God. You say, preacher, I just don't know what to do about this. Get in your Bible and start reading and keep praying and trusting God. Just keep reading it and God will reveal himself to you. God will show you what to do. Hey, if you don't know how to keep your marriage together, I'll tell you, just drown yourself in the Bible. Hey, listen, young man, young lady, if you're having marital problems, turn that blessed boob tube off at night and sit there and read your Bible together for a couple of hours and love on each other and get the honey back in the honeymoon. Thank God, I'm glad the Word of God will show us how to do these things. It'll show us how to have a good marriage and how to have a family. I hate it when people say, well, the thing about raising kids, they don't come with an owner's manual. Yeah, but God gave you one laying in your lap. You got a Bible that tells you how to raise kids. It even teaches a government how to rule itself. every subject known to man can be found in the Bible. The answer. I love this verse. Job said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I thank God for the Word of God. Amen. I love to hear somebody get up and preach and tell it right and tell it straight. I mean straight, gun barrel straight. Even if it knocks the hide off. Even if it ruffles a few feathers. Let me tell you something tonight, friends. Amen. Let me tell you, men and women, boys and girls, church members, child of God, all these years I've been saved, I've heard some hard preaching. I mean, I've heard it straight down the line. I've never heard anybody preach something it made me jump up and walk out the door and pooch my lip out and get mad and quit going to church. I've had sermons preached so hard that I wondered if I was even saved or not. I've had preachers preach so hard before the Holy Spirit conviction was there in such a way that I got up and ran, but I went down to the altar and got right with God. I thank God for the Word of God. Hey, brother, preach it. It ain't going to make me mad. Preach it. It ain't going to upset me. Bring it on, brother. Lay it on me. Give me both barrels, lock and load, and let's have it. Amen, brother. I thank God tonight for the Word of God. Amen. I want to thank God for the Word of God. You do realize that there's going to come a day in America they'll take our Bibles from us. Oh, preacher, that'll never happen. I bet your grandma and grandpa, if you could raise them from the dead, and you could say, guess what they're doing, grandma? They're taking unborn babies out of women's bellies and taking their guts out, and they're selling their hearts and their lungs and their kidneys. They wouldn't believe you. They'd say, you're crazy. There's things happening today that you wouldn't have thought a generation ago. Yeah. Amen? You mark my words. You watch what I tell you. There's going to come a day they're going to outlaw guns, and they're going to take our freedom, and they're going to outlaw religion. They're going to outlaw what they call fundamentalism, extremists. They consider us as being hate people, you know. I remember hearing about old Charles Worley up in North Carolina. I know him not real personally real well, but I know the man. He pastors there in Maiden, and he made a statement about the sodomites a couple of years ago, and he said if you'd built a big old fence and put them all in it and surround all the sodomites and lesbians and just fence them in like a prison and just fly over every now and then and drop food to them. He said it wouldn't take about 40, 50 years. They'd all be extinct because they can't reproduce. Oh, brother, listen. I mean, brother, he caught the devil. I mean, brother, he cut CNN and CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox News. I mean, everybody jumped on the bandwagon. How could a preacher say something so mean and something so bad? But I'll tell you what they said in one of the interviews. They said, these people, they believe the Bible. They seem to believe the Bible literally. I said, amen to that, brother. Amen to that. There's more than just that church. There's a bunch more of us around here. And I like the next part they said. And they said, this preacher seems to lean toward the King James Version only. I said, whoa, that's my crowd right there, brother. And they said, they're going to march on his church and thousands is going to show up. Thousands of gay and lesbians going to show up and shut his church down. He just kept preaching. He didn't do like a politician and apologize and beg forgiveness. He just stood with his guns. And the day of the big rally, there's about 300 queers showed up. He probably had more than that in his sanctuary. Said he was expecting 5,000 or something like that. And 300 of them actually showed up there and marched back and forth a little bit till it got too hot, and then they went on the steakhouse. Or wherever them kind of people go eat. Amen? I'm just saying, I thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad I taught my kids the Word of God. I'm glad that what the basis of the foundation of my home that I raised my kids in. I told Debbie one day, I said, we'd never had a lot of money and owned a whole lot of stuff, but it ain't about that. I said, one thing we can take comfort in, these kids grew up in a Bible-believing home. Everything we believe is based on the Bible, and every decision we make is based on the Word of God. I want to tell you, I thank God tonight we have it. I'm glad we don't have to go to a library or a museum. You have a copy of the preserved Word of God in your lap tonight. You ought to thank God that you have the truth. I'll say fifthly, we ought to thank God for our home. We ought to thank God for our home. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Psalm 65:4. If you've got a good home, you ought to be thankful.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful. I couldn't hardly hold back the tears. But I want to tell you, I thank God for my home. I'm thank God for how I was raised. But I'm glad I chose the way of the Lord. I'm glad I raised my boys to be men and to grow up and be men that love their wives and provide for them and go to church and love the Word of God and raise their kid in the same heritage that I was. On any given night in America, they say 700,000 to 2 million people are homeless. It's hard to believe 700,000 to 2 million people are homeless, and you complain because you have to live in a trailer.
Amen.
Or you complain because you live in an apartment. Your house ain't big enough. You want something bigger. You want something nicer. You want to add on, build on, fix something. Listen, you ever see people that's really homeless? And I know they put themselves in that position. I realize that. I know they're hooked on drugs and alcohol. They've thrown their life away. We was down in Florida one night, me and Ronnie and Travis, down there, Orlando, I believe it was, and we pulled off to get fuel and went down that big boulevard there and pulled in this store about 12 o'clock at night to get gas, and there laid a guy out there at the newspaper rack just laying there with a piece of cardboard over him. There he lay, just laying there on the sidewalk in front of a Circle K a service station or a flash food, whatever it was, and he's just laying there, and I said, boys, I said, right there's where that man lives. That's where that old boy lives there. And I think Travis or whatever walked over and gave him a tract and spoke to him. I thought, my God, we got a home to go back to. We can go home tonight. It's pouring down rain today. Man, it's how I preached on Noah's Ark this morning. And honest to goodness, I thought it's starting all over again. I thought, boy, that's what you call special effects with your sermon. I got home, and if it seemed like the fountains of the deep broke up, it was pouring down rain, and we was just laying across the bed there. Debbie said, she said, did you know that's calling for rain? I said, are they really? I said, it's supposed to rain. It's pouring down rain. But we're just dry and comfortable as we can be. We get hungry, you know what we have to do? We don't have to go to a dumpster and dig through a dumpster. We don't have to go somewhere and beg somebody, hey, sir, could you spare a little change to feed me? All we do is go to the refrigerator, or we go to the cabinet, or we just drive around town until we see something that suits us and pull in and place our order and give them the money and eat till we can't even move anymore. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We ought to thank God for our home. Listen, they say the statistics show that according to the National Survey of Homeless, 28% say they sometimes or often do not get enough to eat, compared with 12% of poor American adults. There's people that's going hungry on the streets of America because of sin. And we got plenty. 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry at night. 2/3 of the world. There's 6 billion people in the world, and they say 2/3 of them go to bed hungry. That's hard to conceive, ain't it? Do you realize, I don't know if it's the way with y'all, y'all keep your leftovers and put them in the fridge. All you women do that. My wife does that. Take it and put your fridge. I mean, Debbie cooks a chicken, we eat half of it, the other half goes in the fridge. And you know, about once a month, she has to clean that mess out. Clean the refrigerator out. For God's sake, woman, I can't find nothing in here. You ever do that? Can't find nothing. It's just packed so full of stuff. I mean, everything you can think of. Leftovers and then stuff just bought, and just, I mean, lettuce and cabbage and onions, and then there's maters sitting up in the windowsill and taters, and we got bananas and oranges and apples, and the freezer's packed full, and then we got an extra freezer and it's packed full. Y'all are the same way. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, how often do we just sit down and say, Lord, I'm glad I ain't living on the street. I'm glad you saved me before I got in that condition, before I messed my life up so bad. Lord, I'm thankful my kids are laying in there in the bed. I'm glad they're healthy. I'm glad if they want something to eat, all they got to do is get up and get it. Oh God, I'm thankful, Lord, for my home. Lord, I'm thankful for how you blessed me. Listen, brother, we ought to be thankful that God has blessed us with a good home here in America. We ought to thank God for our church. Amen. I want to read something to you off of my phone I got today. A text I got from a preacher. Y'all remember the preachers here this morning giving all them statistics about churches closing down? They don't just make them statistics up. They don't get them out of a book. They don't get on Google and just look that junk up. That's real people and real churches. When was the last time you got on your knees and said, God, thank you for Grace Baptist Church? Listen. You know, no, you can't worry about. I know people say, well, so-and-so, they're running 300 or 400, and so-and-so, running, they're building a new church. You got to forget that. Don't worry about what's going on across town. Be thankful for what God has given us right here in our own midst. This text from this preacher says, hey, Brother Ronnie, pray for us. We disbanded our church this morning. Closed it down. Pray the Lord would help us to know what to do next. This preacher don't have a job. His wife don't have a job. They had a daycare center, closed it down, closed the church down. Beautiful sanctuary. I'm not talking about a little tiny storefront church next to a beer joint. I'm talking about a great big beautiful building with a big grand piano sitting up on the stage. And he had to close it down because nobody'd come to church anymore. When's the last time you just, and not grumble, just quit grumbling for God's sake. Being critical and grumbling. Come to the altar and say, God, thank you for Grace Baptist Church. We can come here, worship in the Spirit, and feel the power of God in our services. God, I want to thank you for what you've done for me. Amen. There's a preacher that's going to go to bed tonight. And he's going to toss and turn. God, what do you want me to do? Where am I going to go next Sunday? What am I going to do? We come here, we don't even thank God for what he's already given us. God's blessed us. The statistics say 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, burnout, or contention in their churches. This ministry takes a toll on you. Amen. 4,000 new churches begin each year, but over 7,000 close. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. You wouldn't think that, would you? There's pressure in the ministry. Amen. What people don't understand, the pastor's got his burdens and his family, and the burden of every person in that church is on his shoulders. And then he worries about lost people. And when people drop out of church, you shed so many tears over them and you cry over them because that's one of your kids that's gone. Amen. Amen. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified, discouraged in their role as pastor. 50% of pastors so discouraged they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living. I could call a preacher's name tonight that made this statement to me, and you'd gasp if I told you who it was. I ain't gonna tell you. Got a good church. I mean a good church. And they take care of him, and he's blessed. God's blessed the church. He told me a couple months ago, he said, Brother Ronnie, I told my wife this week, if it wasn't for my health and I had any other way to make a living, he said, I'd quit and get out of this. I'm so discouraged. It gets discouraging. Got quiet on me, didn't it? We're just preaching now. It gets discouraging. Preachers. Preachers get discouraged. Good men. I'm not talking about these professional liars that lie to you for money. I'm talking about good men that's preached here in our Jubilee every year. One preacher comes to our Jubilee. I could call names of these people, these men I've mentioned that's been here regularly. One of them told me, said, Preacher, I come to your meeting last year, and I was just about ready to get out of the ministry when I came down there. It said, God, recharge my batteries. Amen. Said, I'm going to stay with the fight. Amen. 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 Thank God for a good church. Amen. They're closing down, people. Folks have no use for churches. People have no use for Bible believing, preaching anymore. 90% of pastors said their seminary or Bible school training did a fair to poor job preparing them for the ministry. That's the exact truth. My dad used to say there's no teacher like experience. Amen? 85% of pastors said their greatest problem is they're sick and tired of dealing with problem people, such as disgruntled elders, deacons, worship leaders, worship teams, board members, and associate pastors. 90% said the hardest thing about the ministry is dealing with uncooperative people. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, don't be uncooperative. Don't make it hard on you, preacher. I'm not just preaching to Grace Baptist Church. I'm preaching to every church member across this country that'll hear this. Listen, have a cooperative, sweet spirit, and God will bless you for that. And you'll go down in history, and that preacher will remember you for years. And he'll say, boy, I remember them people. What a blessing they were. They was always there, and they always helped me. 70% of pastors feel grossly underpaid. Most preachers don't make minimum wage. If you figure the time they put in studying and visiting and as much time they spend preparation, sermon preparation, and counseling and all that stuff, you realize most preachers don't even make minimum wage. And he buys him a new truck, if he can afford it, people talk about him. But I'm just telling you, that's how people are. 70% felt God called them to pastoral ministry before the ministry began, but after 3 years of ministry, only 50% still felt called. Think about that. Think about that preacher sending me that text this morning. Got up in front of his church, what few he had left, said, "Well, y'all, we're going to quit having church and we'll decide what we're going to do with this property. I got to decide what I'm going to do with that building and all that property. Probably a couple $1 million worth of what to do. Had one man that goes here to our church. I won't call his name to embarrass him. He told me the other day or this week or maybe last week. He said, "Brother Ronnie," he said, "I figure it like this." He said, "I can at least come to church. I can at least be faithful. And every time we're having church," he said, "I can do that much." And boy, when he said that, I thought, glory to God, brother, I wish everybody felt that way. He said, "I might not do a whole lot." Yeah, but he said, I can at least show up when we're having church. You don't know what an encouragement that is to a preacher. Oh, brother, I want to say thank God for our church. I love our church. Thank God for our church. Thank God for a Bible-believing church. Thank God for a Holy Ghost-filled church. Amen. Let me say this. I want to thank God personally for a church that allows a man of God to be the leader. Amen. Do you know most preachers, when they go into church, they tie his hands, they handcuff him, and won't let God lead him. Amen? Most preachers have to beg permission from a deacon board of the high-up family to do almost anything. They gotta pass it through certain people and make sure it clears before all you-know-what breaks loose and destroys the church. Amen. Thank God our church ain't like that. Amen? I say it with all humility. I love our church, thank God. And if I don't tell you often enough, I'm sorry for just not being thankful as much as I should. I thank God for the confidence of our leaders in this church. From the smallest person running the nursery to the teachers and the deacons and the choir, everybody in it, I thank God for a place we can come and worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Men in our church has helped me with so many things. Different types of things. Man, I appreciate it. There's that preacher. He don't have anybody. We ain't got a great big church. Boy, we got a good one. Amen. Don't let the devil start telling you what you just need to do. You just need to go shop around and find you another church. You better be careful with that kind of thinking. If you're in a good place of worship and you are, and you're getting fed right and you are, and you're getting preached to and you are, you better stay put and don't let the devil discourage you or get your nose being out of shape over something stupid and get your family out and ruin your testimony. Just stay put. God will take care of you. I thank God for the men in this church. It's helped me do things, some things not even related to the ministry. Build things at my house, worked on my cars, and done other stuff I can't even mention. Some of the men in this church have done that people don't even know about just because they love me. I know it. God knows it. I want to thank God for it. Thank God for our ladies. We got some good women in our church. Did you know it don't take but one bad woman just to keep a church tore up all the time? Our women are good women here. I know I get down and preach on the women, but I'll tell you, we got some good women here. If it wasn't for our good women, us men would be worthless. Man, you know it's the truth. Thank God for the ladies that come faithful. And those of you that come and your husband don't come and you bring your kids and you just come anyway. Just keep coming and keep coming and you're faithful. And no matter what the preacher's wife asks them to do, they'll say, "Yeah, we'll do it, preacher. We'll do whatever you want us to do." Thank God people like that. Brother, makes you just want to keep on going and keep pressing on and keep going another day. Amen. Debbie told me today, she said, we was talking about that missionary being here, and I said, when we came to Grace, we didn't have a mission board to help us and support us and help us get started back. This church was, y'all have told me many times how low it was, but Debbie said this, she said, "You know what? But our church has always been good to us from day one, hasn't they?" I said, "Yep, they have." Amen. Listen, if whoever you are listening, you ought to love your pastor and take care of it. A pastor shouldn't have to work two or three jobs and then pastor a church on top of it and work himself to death and ruin his health and ruin his mind to try to feed a few sheep when God's people, if they'll do what they're supposed to, what this book commands them to do, can take care of the man of God. The church's job is to take care of him physically so he can take care of them spiritually. That's Bible preaching right there. It ain't right for a church to have $50,000 in the bank and the preacher have to work a job and shows up for church Wednesday night, wore slap out, wore to a frazzle because he's been on the job somewhere and he ain't even had time to open his Bible and study. Then they criticize him because his preaching ain't all that great. Amen. Take him on full time if you don't take on a mission. You don't take on a mission work. That's what I said, that's the institution of a New Testament Bible-believing church. It does no good to support mission and send men to the foreign field and plant churches when your preacher is suffering and doing without, needs tires on his car, needs some gas in his gas tank, needs food in his pantry, and you've got all kinds of money in a church. God's not pleased with that, and you know it. Amen. A lot of people hear this. You take your medicine. You do what this Bible said. The Bible said it's a sin to muzzle an ox. You know what that's talking about? Over in the Old Testament, the laws that God handed down, he said, don't put a muzzle on an ox and have him treading out corn. He's out there working, that ox is, and he's working in the field, and he can't even reach over and take a bite of the very corn that he's helping raise. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. It's a sin to muzzle a preacher and not take care of him. I wouldn't even plan on saying none of this. Take care of your preacher. I'm not talking to us. I'm talking about all those that's going to be listening all across the country this week. Amen. You take care of your preacher. Amen. 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 I thank God for my family. My family has a burden for this church. Amen. Now, my family's grown. They're adults. Candace is still living at home. But they're grown men and they can go to church where they want to. Y'all ever thought about that? They don't come here because I make them come. They're in their 30s. I'm 57. They come here because they love Grace Baptist Church. They come here because they want to play the piano and they want to have a good choir and they want the sound to sound just as good as it possibly can and they want everything to be right just like the rest of y'all do. And that's not because they're scared of me. That's not because Daddy makes them. It's because they have a burden and they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they love Grace Baptist Church. Thank God. I want to say I thank God for my family. Sometimes I overlook my own family. Thank God for them, how hard they work. Everything they buy, they try to cut corners and figure out the cheapest way to get it, not buying cheap junk, but figure out a way not to be had, not to be took. Sometimes spend their own money on church stuff. Some of y'all do it too. I know you do. Amen. Amen. Just to do what's right, keep this thing going. Make it look good. Make it sound good. Make the preacher sound good when he's preaching. He's all help he can get. Amen. Make the choir sound. Just sound like they're going to blow the roof off the place. Work hard at it because their burden's here. Thank God for my family. Not to overlook Candace. I appreciate her too for everything she does. You know, it's not easy to step up in somebody's shoes like she did last week. Well, didn't y'all want to do that? Set in and play the piano behind the greatest piano player there is. Amen. You're welcome. And I appreciate it. You never complained, never grumbled. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll be glad to do it. I'll tell you something, I appreciate my family and I love them. I want to say I appreciate my wife. I'm thankful for my wife. My wife's first class, brother and sister. I know some preachers, their wives don't support them. Their wives, listen, I know some preachers, their wives don't even go to the church where their preacher pastors, where their husband pastors. Yeah. If I told Debbie, if I said, I'm going to join that mission board, we're going around the world, she'd say, okay, give me time to pack. I'm with you, baby. Wherever you're going, wherever you're preaching, that's where I'm going. Amen? Amen. And she don't give me, she loves me and respects me, loves this church, does things for this church. She's never embarrassed me in all these years. She's never done anything to make me look bad. And she's done everything in this world to help me to look good. And I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. Hey, she's kept me in the ministry over the years. There's a few times I thought about throwing up my hands and quitting, and I felt like I was discouraged. I couldn't go another mile. And if I hadn't have been for her, I probably would have. Amen. Hang in there, honey. It's going to be all right. I'll never forget that day. I was discouraged, and she come back here in my office, closed the door, and hugged me and gave me a kiss. She said, "Don't worry about it, honey." She said, "It's all about him anyway." And I started feeling like preaching. I said, "You know what? That's the truth, brother. It ain't about anything else that's going on. It ain't about how low your church has got. It ain't about how little amount of money you got. You can't afford to do this and wish you could do that. It's about him. It's all about him." And boy, that gave me a fresh charge. I thought, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lay it on him. I appreciate it. Thank God for my family. I thank God for the people in this church. I forgot to mention this a while ago. When I go off and preach somewhere else, I always get text messages from other people, our church members. You'd be surprised some of the stuff they'll say. Some of the women will text me and say, "Priest and preacher." Amen. I ain't kidding. I ain't calling no names. They'll say, "Miss Shirley," and some of them will text me and say, "Preacher, take no prisoners. Lay it on them. Don't cut them no slack." You know what that does for a preacher when he's 300 or 400 miles from home and wishing he was here and going in a strange place, people looking at him like calves looking at a new gate, and knowing your church members at their church wishing you was here, they said, "Let them have it, preacher, we're behind you." It makes you want to get up and say, "All right, I don't care what y'all do or what you say, I'm going to preach to you this morning." Amen. Thank God for my church. Amen. I remember, I was talking about Debbie, talking about my wife. If you ever look, get on Google and look this up sometime, I met this preacher. He died a few years ago. His name was Tom Malone. He was pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan for 54 years, I believe it was. And he retired, he resigned, and he was going to go do something else, some mission work. And he was gone a few years, and the preacher that took it, just letting it go downhill and running it to the ground, he came back, run him off, and took it back. Took it back and stayed till he died. He was that for years, his entire life almost. Great preacher, sword of the Lord man, you know. Just a good preacher. I've been in service with him, heard him preach. I mean, just stir your heart. He was up preaching one time in a meeting with him. He said, "I hate this ecumenicalism." He said, "I can't even say it, but I sure hate it." I got so tickled at him. But I heard a preacher tell this story that he's up there in his church one time, and it's one of the, at one time it was considered the biggest independent Baptist church in America. And he said somebody was, the preacher was standing there and he said, "Boy, our brother Tom's really done a work here, hadn't he?" And somebody spoke up and he said, "Well, wait a minute, you can't give all the credit to Mr. Tom, to Dr. Tom." He said, "See that little woman over there and his little old gray-haired wife was walking around talking to people?" He said, "There's the heart and soul of this church, Sister Malone." Listen, I'm telling you, a man wouldn't be anything. The Bible said, the Bible tells us that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of the Lord. And a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Listen, y'all thank God for your pastor's wife. Y'all thank God for a good woman that'll stand behind. Listen, if a fist fight breaks out in here tonight, if everything goes sideways and goes crazy, I guarantee you there's going to be one person that's going to fight with the preacher. There'll be that woman right there. Y'all ain't never seen her fight. It ain't pretty. Amen. I want to say this last of all. I want to thank God, as Travis said this morning, just for being God. Just for being God. Amen. We don't have to pray to Allah and Muhammad and Buddha and do meditation and yoga and all that weird stuff. I barely get up and walk from the couch to the refrigerator, much less stand on my head and twist around like a pretzel. Amen. All that bunch of stuff. I just thank God that He's God, ain't you?
Amen.
Listen, God said this in the book of Isaiah. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He said, I'm it. I'm the one and only God. There is no other.
Amen.
All the promises of God are true. Psalm 29:2 said this, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of wholeness." I'm just saying, we want to thank God tonight. When you get down to pray, you'll say, "Lord, I'm glad I'm praying to the right God."
Amen.
You know how we know we're serving the real one, because He's the one that don't get any recognition. And He's the one that makes people nervous. He's the one they won't mention in Congress, and the news don't praise. The news won't praise Jesus. But they talk about Muhammad, and they talk about Islam, and they let them teach Islam in the schools. But they don't want you teaching that Jesus Christ died on a rugged cross and shed His blood. They don't want to hear that. Think about it.
Amen.
Ain't you glad tonight? Ain't you thankful? that he is God?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful if you had some false god, some idol worship, and you made your own god out of a piece of wood like they used to do, and then they worship that image? We don't have to do that. We got the one and only true living God. It's like the old song says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's real, people. Thank God for a place of worship. Thank God for a good home. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that he's God. Thank God we have a place here at this church where the truth is preached, where the singing is spiritual, where people love one another, and people welcome outsiders with open arms. But most important, I'm glad and thankful that I serve the one and only true God. Let's stand tonight. Let me ask you this. Back to the title of my message. When's the last time you just got down and prayed and said, Lord, I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you. The choir got on some of my message tonight, some of the stuff they're singing. When's the last time you thanked him for everything he's done? You can't, listen, if you did, you'd be on your knees a long time. Did you know your heart beats because God keeps it going and he gives breath? You'd quit breathing during the night if it wasn't for God. You know, breathing, they say breathing and your heart beating, all stuff's involuntary functions. You don't control that. You control what your arms and your hands and your feet and your legs do, and your mouth and your ears and your eyes. But that involuntary stuff's what keeps you alive. Amen. And God's just keeping that heart pumping. And when he decides it's time for you to go home, Brother Jeff, he'll say, all right, stop that one, bring him home. Amen. When was the last time we just got serious and said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thankfulness is the foundation of true worship.